Good morning. Good morning. Well, I'm so excited to be here with you. I'm very sad that this is our last class meeting because this has been awesome. But clearly there's been some energy around Mary, so this might just pop up on your notices at some point that we'll do this again. What I want to do, so Ron Gamhol is actually in Chicago right now, and he was emailing me because he called the church that he talked about last week that has this prayer of Mary written around it, and he got them to send me a transcript of the prayer. So first of all, I want us to start with the prayer that we talked about a little bit through him last week. And then what I've passed around is the Magnificat, and I want us to pray that together. That's often within our offices prayed as a canticle, and so more than one person is praying it together. And so I thought it would be cool for our last class period to pray that together as a prayer. So let us pray first the prayer from Ron, and then we'll pray the Magnificat. Remember, O Virgin Mother of God, as you stand in the sight of the Lord to speak good things for us, that his anger may be turned away. Amen.
Amen.
And now praying together, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. So today I've asked you to bring some images of Mary that are important to you. And I do want us to do like a show and tell later and talk about why these images are important to us. But first of all, I actually want to go through a practice of something that Rowan Williams has done. Rowan Williams has written a book called Ponder These Things, Praying with Icons of the Virgin. And he's gone through different icons of Mary and talked about them theologically. And Rowan Williams is kind of a person. He's kind of a theologian. And so I thought that was really cool. And part of the idea around having a class where we look at icons and we talk about icons has come through reading this book. And so in the introduction, he writes the following. There is the person who stands on the frontier between promise and fulfillment, between earth and heaven, between the two testaments. Mary. That she can be represented in so many ways, thought about and imagined in so many forms, is an indication of how deeply she speaks to us about the hope for the world's transfiguration through Jesus. How she stands for the making strange of what is familiar and the homeliness of what is strange. After all, it is she who literally makes a home for the Creator of all things. The strangest reality we can conceive in her own body and in her own house. She, whom we meet again and again in the Gospels, struggling with the strangeness of her son, from the finding of him in the temple to the station at the cross. These meditations, the meditations in the book, are really about how we are led by faith both to live in the world, fully flesh and blood in it, and at the same time to be aware of the utter strangeness of God that waits in the heart of what is familiar. As if the world were always on the edge of some total revolution, pregnant with a different kind of life, and we were always trying to catch the blinding momentary light of its changing. This is what any icon sets out to embody and transmit. We are watching and waiting for Christ to come more fully to birth in us. We are waiting for our lives to become iconic, to show in their color and line and movement how God acts Christ-like in us. And that is his introduction. And unfortunately, I could not get audio visual to put together a PowerPoint for the class. So I decided instead that what I did is I printed one of the icons that he then explores in the book. And I want to take us through his theological understanding of the icon as one way in which we might approach the icons. And this is not the exact one rendered in the book, because I was trying to find one that would print really well. And the one that he uses in the book was a little blurry, and so that didn't work for me. But the icon we are looking at is one of a type of icon. It's one of a type of an icon of Mary. I'm going to butcher the way you say this, but I'm going to try really hard. It's the Hodijetria. It is a Russian style of icon, and it literally means she who shows the way, or it is called for some Our Lady of the Way. It is a depiction of Mary holding the child Jesus at her side while pointing to him as the source of salvation for humankind. You can see the pointing. Rowan Williams suggests that something that we can pay attention to in all icons is where eyes are looking and what hands are doing. He says that all icons show a way, that they invite us to follow a line, a little kind of journey in the picture. And one way we follow that line is to be attentive to the hands and the eyes. So think about that while we look at all the images today. So we can think about eyes and hands as we look at all of them. But also, wonder with me what line might be shown to you, what way might be shown to you from the icon that is meant to draw you closer to God. The line is not only within the icon, it is within drawing us toward God and through Jesus Christ. And William says about this icon specifically that Christ's eyes take us to Mary's face because he's looking at her. And Mary's eyes are turned to us, as so often is in these images. She addresses us with her eyes, and what she has to say to us is articulated by her right hand. She is introducing her son. But the child she shows to us is precisely a figure who gives his whole attention to her. It is very typical of the icon style that it presents people to us clearly in relationship to one another, not as solitary portraits. And it is not only that we cannot understand Mary without seeing her as pointing to Christ. We cannot understand Christ without seeing his attention to Mary. Jesus does not appear to us as solitary, enthroned afar off, but as someone whose being and loving is always engaged, already directed toward other people. Mary is who she is by pointing away from herself. Her identity is caught up in leading us to Jesus and her pointing. She is the one who points the way in several senses. The way to life is the path away from self-contemplation and self-presentation, from putting oneself before the world as an isolated unit, a solid lump of human material, sufficient to itself. More specifically, it is a path toward Jesus, but in turn, not toward a Jesus who is himself an isolated figure, but toward his loving attention directed towards someone else, being his mother. In short, part of what we understand from this icon is about Mary. We understand her in relationship to her son, Christ, and also as a prophetic witness who talks about him through even looking at him. And part of what we understand from this icon is about Christ, that his life is known within relationships and not alone. Williams writes, "She looks at us, urging us by her gesture not to keep our eyes on her face, but to follow the hand that points to Jesus. He looks at her, drawing us back to her face, The face that is the object of Christ's loving gaze is precisely the face that looks not to him, but to us, eager for our looking to be turned and converted to him. The path is one where everything is in movement, where our gaze is always being shifted, never a simple matter of desire, searching for and settling on one image. In short, again, he looks at her, she then to us. She has heralded his birth, and now she beckons us to look back at him, to follow him, to be obedient to God the way she was, an obedience that she then taught to Jesus, that granted us eternal life through his willingness to follow God even to death. In looking at multiple icons of Mary throughout the book, Rowan Williams says, "Christians have traditionally been unhappy to think of Mary simply as sharing the depth of our usual human sin and failure. And it is surely true that her yes to the angel indicates that from the beginning, believers have thought her freedom to respond to God's challenge a sign of some extraordinary depth of spiritual integrity. But if we think further about Mary's role, we may see that she is not so remote from our situation as might appear at first. She comes before us in the beginning of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke as a person of intrinsic insignificance in her context, an unmarried woman in an occupied country. She is summoned by God to a role that could only, in that context, have marked her as more intensely a failure and an outcast. A woman with an unexplained pregnancy, an embarrassment to her fiancé. What can she do but point to her son? As if to say, only there, only within Jesus, will you find how any of this makes sense. It is her acceptance of risk, reproach, and scandal that already points to her son, whose path will be the same road of rejection. And in his acceptance of that road, he looks back to Mary, as if to tell us that she had pointed in the right direction. Her self-forgetfulness in accepting God's call is the foreshadowing of the cross. She loves in advance the love that Jesus will exhibit in life and death. In the cross, Jesus demonstrates that he loves the love his mother exhibited in accepting the shame and scandal of his birth. He is not ashamed to be known as her son, and in his affirmation of her, he affirms what is the nature of the faith that we are called to. So that is one interpretation of this icon, but I think it is deep. I think it is profound. I think it offers a lot. I don't know that I would have gotten there just by looking at it myself. But I'm like, she's real pretty, and there's a baby. Like, I'm not there. I'm not Rowan Williams. But I offer that to you as one way in which when we look at these things, they aren't simply images. They can be dwelled upon. They are images created out of prayer. The idea of writing an icon is to be praying the whole time, that what we are seeing is literally the product of prayer, and that it is imbued with prayer. One of the really coolest things I've done is we had an iconographer at St. Paul's Waco, and she would always ask us in the service to please dedicate her icons. And so you get to use the service out of the Book of Common Prayer and just recognize this beautiful creation as being sort the literal creation out of prayer. And so this is sort of one way to understand all of the complexities of what are going on here. And so what I wonder is if you brought one, I'd like for us to go through them and then maybe as a group talk through some of the things about it that stick out to you that might tell us a little bit more about Mary. And maybe we start over here. This one's rather large.
We brought that.
Can everyone see?
No.
Would you come pick it up? I don't want to break it, so I'm going to get you to pick it up.
Do you want a chair?
Yeah, you can set it up here if you want.
Okay.
Get a chair. You talk. But anyway, that's a Renaissance image of Mary. I forget which. I guess it's Belenus. But anyway, Robert and I, before coming here, were at an independent Catholic church, and it was called Our Lady of Consolation, and that was the image that we had. And then after it closed, the priest gave it to us. Kind of interesting. If you're Catholic, you would understand it. I mean, there's like
May crowning,
and then so there's magnets on both sides.
I was wondering about the magnets.
Ew. I got something on it.
So tell me what you see in this.
Serenity.
I like how she's playing with his toes, like he's a real baby and a real mother. His toes were beautiful and fun.
And baby toes are adorable, baby toes. So of course you're going to do that, you know?
That baby looks more real than a lot of the babies in the pictures because he's, size-wise, he's in the right relationship with Mother Mary.
Well, and proportionally, his body is the same. I mean, his head's much bigger than the rest of them, as opposed to that one, which he looks like a miniature adult.
Right. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. He just looks one of those chubby babies that you just want to kiss their cheeks.
But then again, this was Renaissance, and there was a push to be a little bit more realistic. That's the time period that you actually start seeing some bone structure come out in pictures, although this one there's
not a lot of bone structure,
but
he's just chubby. Is it just me, or is her gaze not as direct as his?
No,
it's off to the side.
It's off to the side.
Yeah.
She looks tired.
And yet it would appear that no matter where you're standing, Jesus looks directly at you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It is a pretty piercing glare, if I do say so myself.
Hmm. Well, that brings the focus on him instead of her in the painting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And his looking out, I would say. Looking to you.
I'm trying to keep in mind what you said about a line of sight and what the eyes and the hands were doing. That's why I thought
about it. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. And we can return to any of these icons as we keep talking. I just am aware that I just saw like a little shrine over here that I want to make sure we just talk about as well. So who brought this icon?
I did.
And would you like to share? I love leading show and tell. It's so fun. Tell us your name. No, I'm just going to.
This is the Annunciation by Fra Angelico. Hmm. It's a 15th century. This is actually an altar. And at the top, first, above is the Annunciation itself. And at the bottom are scenes from Mary's life. And this falls naturally into three parts. There's Mary in one frame, there's Gabriel in the other, and there's Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden. And one thing that strikes me is these two are very citified and civilized. This is like the height of the Renaissance, and that's absolutely wild. It's jungle almost. And so this is redeemed humanity. And that's humanity unredeemed.
The light of God.
And the light that shines in Eden also shines directly on Mary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you look carefully, Gabriel's wings kind of extend back into the wild side a little bit, too.
Oh, yes.
And the light goes directly past Adam and Eve and on to.
Yeah. But this is an altar. It's now at the Prado Museum. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, this was an absolute gift. We went to a garage sale and got it for $5.
Oh, now you're just bragging.
Well, why not, you know?
So what do you see in this? We've said a few things as he was talking, but what are some specific things you see that you might want to share?
The light of God transcends time.
And she's in total humility.
Yes.
To what God's asking her.
Yeah, it strikes me. This is the moment. The way I see this is that Gabriel has just told her, and she's having a moment here of trying to absorb it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If she hasn't answered yet, I don't think.
No, she does look. I can't see her. Disturbed or.
Yeah, I mean. Her, she's not looking at the angel or lifting her hands in praise. She's very inward.
Is it Jesus' face on the pyramid?
On the what?
At the top.
That's probably.
No, that's God the Father.
That's probably God. Looking over the whole thing.
Yeah, looking down on the whole thing. I don't see Jesus in this painting at all.
He's not there yet.
Who's the third figure in the. It's Michael.
No, that's Gabriel too.
Oh,
doing it, or is it Michael?
Michael.
He's expelling them from the garden. Get out of Dodge.
Yeah, does he have a flaming sword? We're just curious.
No, he is actually empty-handed.
Although that image reminds me of one of the lines from the Exultet, "Oh happy fault."
Yeah.
I don't know if you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the one that we use. I know it's in the one in a Roman Catholic church. Mm-hmm.
It also seems like Gabriel is saying, like, kind of bowing, like, you have a heck of a lot in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm here to also kind of, I don't want to bring you this news, but I'm here to bring you this news. And kind of looking at her like, you can do it.
Yeah. One thing that strikes me about it is that all these images exist at the same time. Mm-hmm. That we're not looking at a developmental view of history the way we think of it, but this is all eternal.
This makes me wonder if this is the moment before the question is asked, how can this be, because I'm a virgin.
Yeah, I think she's about to open her mouth, but hasn't done it yet.
She still looks struck.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Can you pass that around so we can see the bottom?
Yeah,
sure.
Since that would like.
The back of it is just paper, so it's reasonably delicate.
Be careful.
Oh.
It
costs
$5.
Don't
touch your fingers.
Yeah,
don't care. It's okay. You might think that's
easy. I don't know. Maybe something inside
out. It could be.
So it looks like there's a collection of things over here. Who brought these things?
I did.
Would you like to share them?
I would be happy to. I have four Marys. They're from four different countries. And this one right here is from my nativity set. It came from Mexico. Here's the little baby Jesus that looks like a pea pod. But the thing that fascinates me about this Mary is her face. Can you all see it from there?
No.
I don't mind passing this around. Her eyes are wide. In a typical Mexican fashion, and she's looking at the baby as, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? This one was made in Italy, and I call it the Madonna of the Chair because she's sitting in a very straight back wooden chair with the baby on her lap, and he looks to me like he's getting ready to bless us because his right hand is like this. He's got three fingers held up, and the thumb and the little finger are touching. So he looks like he's blessing us. And I won't say anything about their features because they're just very abstract kind of features. I got this one at the Greek festival one year. I'll take it out of the stand. So it's a typical Greek icon with mother and the baby, and he's like a little adult and looking out at us, and she's looking at us too. There's a hand there that looks like it should be the baby's hand, but it doesn't look like it's attached to him, so you all figure it out for yourself. Okay. And then the fourth one is one that I'm particularly fond of because I think it's so graceful.
Beautiful.
It says on the bottom that it was made in the USA. I bought it at Safeway.
That's a surprise. I love that. That's just a surprise.
Mary is everywhere.
So good.
That's,
yeah.
That's just a surprise.
Somebody else has one over here, too.
Yeah, that one's fine.
Cool. Yes, will you share?
Sure. Thank you.
Those are beautiful.
I guess you pass this one around, too, since you can't really see much. But this is...
we have one more.
Yeah, this is Our Lady of Knock.
Knock
in Ireland. The apparition was said to have occurred in 1879 in County Mayo. And although the worst of the famine and the largest immigration exodus was around 1850, things were still pretty bad there in 1879. They were having a particularly bad crop that year. And so the image is Mary is reported to have appeared with Joseph and John the Evangelist. The parish where this is said to have occurred was the Church of St. John the Evangelist in County Mayo. So the reason, and it is in a little New Mexican tin thing. This is just a prayer card like you get for a buck or $2 at any Catholic bookstore. And I just stuck it in this. This is, picked it up in Albuquerque, and I picked it up for the card because I noticed that it was a shamrock. Which, of course, in tradition, that was what St. Patrick used to evangelize to the indigenous people in Ireland, to explain the Trinity 3-in-1. So, anyway, and this resonates with me personally because, like a lot of people in this country, I'm mostly of Irish descent, and the thing that I like about Mary is, or a thing, is that she makes herself accessible and familiar to us. And with the apparitions, however much credit you want to put into them, that's a consistent theme, of course. Obviously, Our Lady of Guadalupe, having represented herself as an indigenous woman during a time when the indigenous people were being treated poorly by the Spanish. And that was so controversial that actually it took a long time for the Catholic Church of Mexico to get on board with that particular story. They weren't all about it initially. There was a great deal of division. And my own saint's day is February 11th, which is the day for Our Lady of Lourdes, which I suppose I should be glad I'm actually not Catholic, because then my name might have been Lourdes. And that's kind of but she appeared to... not a man or an adult, but a young girl in southwestern France, in a region where they don't actually speak French, they speak Occitan, which is kind of, it's like Catalan, it's like part French, part Spanish, except whereas Catalan's mostly Spanish, Occitan is mostly French, but there's a little Iberian influence, and she spoke that language to the little girl. She didn't speak in French or Latin. She spoke in the language of the people of that region. So this is a reminder to me how it echoes the Magnificat in Mary's empathy for people who are left outside of privilege, and she meets us where we are.
Amen. Thank you. Let's see. Let's just start moving here. Who brought Mary, Immaculate Patroness of our country? Pray for us.
Yeah, that won't come up there. Though.
Oh, you won't?
Step over here. He's got these things. Those are three examples of something we talked about last week, which I'm a 65-year Roman Catholic, so these things are things I've collected over my time in the Catholic Church. The first one is an example of a holy card that would be passed out, and was passed out during Mass, asking Mary to pray for a special intention. The intention was to pray for the church in the United States. Not as important as the second one that's there, which is an old, as you can see, is an old holy card. On the back of that is a prayer. That's actually Our Lady of Fatima, which is another apparition of Mary in Portugal to three children. The whole story goes along with that. I'm not going to try to go through that. But.
Would you say the prayer? Is it the same prayer?
It's a prayer for peace and a prayer for those in active service. Yeah. There are two in
this
the back.
This is actually something my mother had in her things I found. I think that she was doing, she was praying that when I was over in Vietnam. And so I think that's what that was from. Yeah. The third thing is actually the Catholic prayer book. And in the Catholic prayer book, there are a number of pictures and prayers to Mary. Of course, the most important one in that prayer book is the How to Pray the Rosary. That particular picture is the Annunciation. The next picture on the next page is Mary's visit to Elizabeth. And, of course, the next picture
that's
after
cool.
that is the birth of Christ.
The visit.
So that's what those are.
We need pictures in our book.
That's a pretty one.
These are beautiful.
Yeah.
Great idea. I like that.
Yeah. And then the baptism, which we... Mm-hmm.
Color books.
There are a number of pictures in there of Christ, obviously. Quite a few of them are Mary, too.
Yeah.
There was a request to read the prayer. And so I want to read the prayers here.
I think it's on the small one.
Yes. The prayer here. I'm going to read the prayer for peace. O God, from whom proceed all holy desires, all right counsels, and just works, grant unto us, thy servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be devoted to thy service, and that being delivered from the fear of our enemies, we may pass our time in peace under thy protection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A prayer for those in active service. O God, we beseech thee, watch over those exposed to the horrors of war and to the spiritual dangers of a soldier's, a sailor's, or an airman's life. Give them such a strong faith that no human respect may ever lead them to deny it or fear to practice it. Do thou, by thy grace, fortify them against the contagion of bad example, that being preserved from vice and serving thee faithfully, they may be ready to meet death whenever it may happen. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Sacred Heart, inspire them with sorrow for sin and grant them pardon. Mother of God, be with them on the battlefield, and if they should be called to make the supreme sacrifice, obtain for them that they may die in the grace of thy divine Son. Saint Joseph, pray for them. May their guardian angels protect them. Whole family. That's beautiful, thank you. We have a little one.
I brought that one. It was made in Greece. And I think the one thing when you were talking about Jesus facing her, he's looking out in that one.
Yes. Looking away.
I tried to find the name of it, but I have a book by Rowan Williams also, Praying Icons.
Yes,
and
the
there was
second.
One very similar to that, but not exact. And it said Baldemore, something like that.
Said what? So, as you see, Mary is looking at us, mm-hmm. and Jesus looks away entirely. Mm-hmm. He's not looking at us or her. So, very different. From what I had up here. Mm-hmm. But also, at first glance, maybe very simple. Right?
Can we pass that one around?
May we?
Oh, certainly.
Okay, sorry. If any of them are... I don't want to pass around anything that we shouldn't. And then we have this.
Oh. That's mine. I'm not sure. It says Mexico on the back, and I'm not sure... I don't remember when I got it, but it's just been special to me ever since I did get it. And I just like to look at it. Maybe you could describe it a little.
Pass it around. She has beautiful eyes and red lips, which I think is just beautiful. And Jesus is hands raised, as we talked about before, it looks like he's ready to give a blessing. It favors.
No, no, that is an angel.
That would be.
Okay.
Because actually, the Our Lady of Guadalupe, that one doesn't have it. The original image has a black cincture, which is an indication that she was pregnant.
Okay.
So.
And this does not have it, and so I did not know that. I thought this was after, but we can pass it around for you to look at it. It's beautiful. It's, here, I'll pass it maybe this way, and then it can go that way.
This one's cute.
And then someone brought this.
I did.
Do you have to describe it?
Sure, there's two of these we can pass around.
Oh,
but
great.
These are the stained glass or painted glass windows from the church that I grew up in. It's Holy Rosary Catholic Church in Rosenberg, which is outside of Houston. This upper left one was over the high altar, and it depicts Queen of the Holy Rosary, and she's giving a rosary to, I'm not sure who they're supposed to be, but it looks, one of them looks like St. Francis of Assisi, maybe, I don't know.
It should be St. Stock.
Angels on both sides. This one depicts the presentation of Jesus in the temple. This one is the Nativity, the Annunciation, and then this one is basically three different presentations. One is the Pentecost, where the flames descend on the apostles. This one is the Assumption, and then this one is Queen of Heaven and Earth. And these were all the windows in this church represented the stage, the mysteries of the Rosary, all the various mysteries of the Rosary. And this is just a small sample of what was in the church. These are the ones that were
basically. Because there's a total of 15, and that was before John Paul II added the additional five.
We'll start this one back here.
Light.
Say that again.
How large are the windows?
The ones, and because the one up in the upper left corner and the bottom right corner were in opposite ends of the church, and they were probably 30 feet tall from the bottom up, and that's including all of the stuff at the top. And in the transepts, there were equally large windows, and they all represented multiple stations, and then, or not stations, but mysteries, and then all along the sides of the church, there were all the mysteries of the Rosary. And they're more painted than stained.
Well, as those get passed around, I encourage you to stay to look at the icons that were brought. Thank you to everyone who brought icons. These are beautiful and very important to explore, and I hope you'll continue to look at icons and continue to see Mary in places all the way from cathedrals to Safeway, because she is in all of those places. And garage sales.
That's right.
And I am really grateful for this class. It has been fun and exciting, and just been a pure joy to talk about something. I've learned a lot because, you know, as I said at the beginning of our class, we don't ever finish, like we don't ever figure out Mary. Mary is a person, so we will always be able to encounter her and learn more about her, and with our theological imaginations continue to encounter her again. The same way every year, even though we've done Advent before, we do it again. We've done Easter before, yet we do it again, because every time that we come back to it, we come back to it as a new creation, as we are recreated over and over again by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm really grateful for that and for the fresh eyes that we get to bring to all of these images again and again and again. And so in closing, let us pray. God, we are grateful that you have brought us together over these 4 weeks. We pray that you would inspire us to follow in the way of Mary, that we may leave this room called to be your prophets who herald the beauty of your incarnation and your birth. Remind us of the importance that you are Emmanuel, God with us, and that Mary is with us as well, as a mother, as an inspiration, as a prophet, and as someone who shows the way, who, like John the Baptist, shows the way of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you taught Jesus through his mother and all the many things that we then learn from him and that we then follow in our following of Jesus. May we never forget Mary in that picture. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your holy and precious name that we pray.
Amen.